All right. Welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome to Do It Yourself, which is the show that's going to be hosted by me, myself, Vega Bomber, and also Juice, who's from Keith Comics.
Nice being back.
Yeah. If you guys remember our first show, we talked a little bit about Iron Man 3. We talked about, you know, what was the great expectations about that film and then what maybe didn't work in that film. And now we're ready to do the same thing again on Do It Yourself. We're going to talk about The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which for a lot of people, and I'm one of those people who went to it and thought, man, I don't know that that's what I would have done. I mean, Juice, you saw it. What did you think?
Not so amazing for me.
Right. And it certainly wasn't. So, oh, my goodness.
Not
my
even spectacular.
Goodness. No, not at all. He wasn't even phenomenal, Spider-Man. He just wasn't any of that stuff. So here's kind of what we do. If this is the first time you guys are listening to the show, we'll look at the problems with the film first, and then after that, we'll go ahead and reimagine the film and say, this probably would have been the film that would have made more people happy. So, wow, we could probably talk about the problems of this film all night, because there's a bunch of them. So, thinking about some problems, Juice, what did you see?
You know, the problems for me was the heavy-handed tone. It started well enough. The first, 10 minutes or so, it felt like the tone was going to be pretty well done. And then it kind of switched to a dark tone. The 15, 20 minutes in or so. And then we'll go switch back and forth. That's one of the problems I had with it.
Yeah, I was not a big fan of that myself. Because it was. At first, when you see the opening shot, you have Spidey swinging around and he's doing Spidey things, and that's what you want to see, and that's very cool. But then it all of a sudden slows down and you get this graduation speech, and then she's, you know, Emma Stone's character, you know, is sitting there, Gwen Stacy is saying all this great stuff about being seniors, and then she gets all, you know, deep about it. And it's like most of the times these things, graduations, people are just being lighthearted. They just can't wait till it's over so they can go party.
Yeah.
And she's talking about death and all this other stuff. And so right away, as soon as she starts getting that serious, you knew, oh, she's in trouble.
She's in trouble, yeah. Being foreshadowing. She's going to end up dying. And I was about to ask her, spoilers.
Yes.
Spoilers in this
That's story. Right. We got spoilers here. So yes. If you haven't seen The Amazing Spider-Man 2, if you haven't bought the DVD by now, I think it's coming out here pretty soon, or if you haven't seen it at the Dollar Theater, then you probably are listening to the wrong show at this moment. Just go ahead and put this on pause. Come back, because this will always be there on the Jedi Cole universe in the do-it-yourself folder, because that's where you can find it. So, yes, spoilerific. Spoilerlicious. So now that we've said all that, right, and now you know, let's see. So what did you think about the music in this situation?
It didn't work all through the movie. It just took you out of the movie, especially when Electro shows up. It was, again, using this word again, heavy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
It just knocked you with a hammer.
Yeah.
And this is not Thor. It's just Spider-Man.
Right? Because it just seemed weird. It's like, I mean, I get that they were trying to do it since it's Electro, so they decided they were going to try to do something more of like something that would tie into the theme of being Electro, electronic music.
House music.
Yeah, some sort of house music, dubstep, whichever. However, there were scenes, though, back in his house where there's music that they were using that you're just kind of going, that doesn't even match the film. Why is that song even being used to try to convey what he's feeling right now? So
right. It was like a happy song, I think, and then he was trying to find a bit closer to get to his dad,
yeah,
and to his father and make connections. And that, yeah. I think it didn't fit, in my opinion.
No, so. They just, I don't know where they were going with that.
Everything was tacked on. In
yeah.
This movie.
Yes. I mean, and again, we're just having fun picking the holes in this, but it's like, too. You also saw in the poster, you saw three villains. And there were three villains in the movie. However, really, they focused on mainly one, Electro, which that's fine. That's the case. Right. But having Rhino in there was ridiculous, the little bit of time that you did have him in there. And he wasn't developed or fleshed out or anything. And then you have Harry Osborn.
Yes.
And so he's going to be the Goblin. And it's shoehorned in perfectly because everybody knows from the comics that it's the Goblin that kills Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy.
So
they just forced that in there.
Yeah.
You know, like shoehorned it in there. Mm-hmm. And that's many of the problems, and that's the second problem we're talking about. They have with they should have just stick with one villain, and that's it. But and then another problem was again, as we talked about Rhino, the Rhino fans. I think they want to see a full fledged battle with him, and they were robbed.
Yes, they were. And in fact, you see the end of the movie in the trailers, which that's just unbelievable. That I don't think that's ever happened before. I can't remember of a movie that shows you the actual ending of it in the trailer.
It makes you think that you're gonna see, the city being destroyed and him trying to stop him. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the middle of the movie, maybe even the last. It did tack it on, but it just ends like that. It turns dark. It Sopranos you know.
Right. Put him in some cement boots.
Throw him
in the river over there.
Yeah,
I didn't get that because the trailers, and I would say that was probably a big problem of it too, because the trailers kept showing you all these scenes, and you kind of had put the movie together before you saw the movie, because you saw Gwen Stacy, you saw, I guess, the Haynes characterization of Harry Osborn. So you know, okay, she's going to die. And then you see all this stuff in the trailer about all these extra villains coming out and fighting in terms of all three of them together, which never happens. The three of them never gang up on him.
No.
Which you would think at some point they would. I mean, if Harry Osborn... here's the other thing. Harry Osborn is mad at him because Peter Parker won't help him get Spider-Man to come over to his place so that Spider-Man can give him some of his blood.
Right.
So now he hates Spider-Man. And that's just how thin that is.
Yeah, very thin. like this whole plot is thin. they should have, with Norman Osborn, and also another thing with Harry and Norman Osborn, the relationship wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it wasn't developed very good.
Mm-hmm.
He was introduced, Norman Osborn, I think too quick, and was taken out too quick.
Yes.
At least with the Electro thing, they kind of did flesh it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should have done some changes in that, but at least it focused on him and Electro, and it felt like another lazy way to convey Green Lantern. I mean, Green Lantern. Another bad movie. The Green Goblin, storyline.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and you were thinking about that because again, this is part of the laziness of this film, right? Because stuff was, as you said earlier, it was shoehorned in. And so here we go. We have the father now who's laying in bed. He's sick. And, oh, how convenient. He tells him about a disease that the Osborns have. And he happens to look down on his body and see, oh, wow, I have a growth too. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that was convenient. So now he starts to deteriorate. The whole movie before that, whenever they show Harry, he looks fine. He's okay. They're skipping rocks together, and that's supposed to show the rapport between these two. And then his dad all of a sudden breaks out with all this stuff, and then he's got green hands and long fingernails because that's what this disease evidently does to you.
Turn you into a goblin, I guess?
Yeah, somehow. And we don't really know what it was exactly.
They
just didn't really explain it. And I thought, well... okay, I guess. I guess you just want him in there so that somehow he can get in there and somehow take out Gwen Stacy because they want to be faithful to the comic books in this particular area. But the fight scenes, again, you're dealing with Electro, and he's all electric, and then Spidey's going to fight him, but he needs Gwen Stacy, who is also a scientist, though she doesn't dress or look like a scientist. You need Gwen Stacy to tell you that you need to wear these metal bands on both hands to help be a ground so that he can't destroy your web shooters or whatever it was.
And they were magnetized.
And they're magnetized.
Somehow, with a car battery.
Yeah. And I was kind of going, okay, that sounds like something crazy. But okay, you're going to put it in there.
A man with Spider-Man power, so
right.
You're going to follow it, right?
We're just going to roll with it. Just let it go. And then you look at the character of Electro. Like, I don't know necessarily that I needed to see really that much of an origin story on Electro. What I would have liked to have seen was just he's already a badass, and he's basically, instead of having, well, I guess I'm kind of getting ahead to where I'm getting to a fix, but I guess with Electro, I liked him better as Electro more so than I did when he was playing the geeky nerd who turns into a bad guy. I've seen this before.
I think, yeah, we've seen this before. I think in 90s movies, Batman Forever, that I can remember from Riddler, it was basically the same storyline with with him being a nerd and then I guess make some kind of flimsy design storyline where he is hero worshipping Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then they made that connection and I guess, you know, love turns into hate, I guess, after a while. I guess that's what they're trying to convey.
Who knows? I mean, it's like they need to ask Tina Turner about that. What's love got to do with it, you know? Because, I mean, because really, I mean, if you think about it, and then it's interesting because there's a scene where all of a sudden, I guess, what's his name? Max, who's Electro's, I guess, secret identity is when he's Max. So he's got up on the wall all these postings of Spider-Man and all this stuff, which we've seen this a million times. And then they show Peter Parker, and he's got the same thing, but it's all about Gwen Stacy and all of this.
And also, yes, father.
Yeah, so here they are, and his father, yes. So you got all this junk up there on the wall, and it's like, that means, in movie land, that what this means is, I'm obsessed with you. If I have a bunch of stuff on the wall, and somehow it's always going to be red tape connects the different dots to let you know, look how obsessed he is with this. Right. He's got it all mapped out up here.
It's just silly.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. And I think another piece to this was a problem as well is, you know, in the first Spider-Man, the idea that it was supposed to be different was that the parents, you know, was going to be all about how the dad and there's, you got to see the second part to understand the first one. So we were just setting you up with the first one in a way.
Right.
Which this movie's all about. Well, now we got to set you up for the Sinister Six.
Sinister Six.
So instead of focusing on the movie at hand, they seem to be looking ahead each time. But then I thought, okay, well, all right, different twist, the dad. Let's see what you're going to do with that. So the dad then is just somebody who figures out that the Osborn Corporation is going to do something evil, and the way to stop it is to set up some new formula that won't work unless it has his blood or his offspring's blood.
Right.
And then he's got to leave clues behind so that Peter will somehow find it, and then maybe Peter can somehow be the one that gets bitten by a spider instead of someone else.
Yes, chance. Everything's left to chance.
Yeah.
And it just happens to bite Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And if it was another person, what would happen?
You know, they'd just die.
They'd just die.
They just, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, wouldn't he, like, I don't know, destroy all the spiders, you would think?
Yeah. I mean, aren't tarantulas dangerous enough as it is already? A regular spider bite from some spiders can kill you?
Just a thought. I'll keep it in a secret lab.
Yeah. There we go.
So nobody will bite.
Yeah, with eels and lizards, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to take all the animal kingdom, because the genetic code from something from another species has got to be the answer that will work for humans.
Now, where was the cage with the rhino? Where was that?
Yeah, see, they messed up. That's what
it should have been a secret lab with a rhino in it. Oh, there's a second lab over here with a rhino, dead, of course.
Yes, you got to see him. Of course, I guess the rhino was like, no, I'll stomp your butt if you come over here. The spiders, we can mess with them. Lizards, they don't put up much of a fight. You know, big. Vultures, I guess
vultures, right?
Put up a fight. Right. But rhinos will put up a fight, so we'll just make it a mech suit for some reason. That'll be the only thing that's not, you know, it'll be consistent in that it's a mech suit instead of something else. But again, you're looking at this and you're going, okay, so that's the dad's plan although he's going to leave clues behind. What if Peter didn't figure out that this was supposed to happen?
Right. I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, I think that, again, it's just lazy screenwriting. It just happens, you know, just because the script says it does. You know, there's no logic to what the characters are thinking or what, you know, maybe he did leave clues, but then what made him think that, you know, the lab would have been secret for 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
And everything's working in the lab too.
Yes.
You know, like that.
The technology was fine to work. He's doing it. And Oscorp, they can come up with mech suits, but they can't figure out, you know, where secret labs are somewhere in the city that are somehow in a subway. And then, of course, he has to get that from Aunt May. Aunt May has to say something to make him trigger and think back while he's got crazy soundtrack music going on. To go,
yeah.
See, I would have just went to the subway. You know, I would have got me a BLT with some ranch and some lettuce. That's what I would have had. I wouldn't have thought, no, it's got to be a real car that's still underground somehow, and if I take this token and slip it in here, boom,
something will happen, right?
Something will happen, and then I'll be able to, you know,
It was like a video game.
Yeah.
Like a Zelda. There you go. With the coins. Or is that Mario Brothers? Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. They were going for the same thing here. And you thought that they would have learned after Spider-Man 3 about trying to shove all these villains in there?
Nope, they didn't learn. Too much.
Yeah.
It was too much of everything. Yeah, too much of introductions. Mm-hmm. Like, they did it too fast. Mm-hmm. They try to introduce a character and then not let the story breathe.
Yes.
Yes. Same thing with the relationship with Gwen and Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
They just broke up for no reason. I'm thinking no reason. Mm-hmm. He's thinking because he's seeing, oh, I know why. Mm-hmm. He's seeing phantom images of his father, Captain Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of that, he decides, oh, I better break up with her. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, again, with the tone, it slowed down, in my opinion, the movie, because then he became a creeper. He would creep on Gwen Stacy, and then she found out, oh, that's endearing.
Yeah.
For him, it's endearing.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he likes me, which is going to put me in danger, and then, which means I'm going to have to get my butt kicked by the Green Goblin. Thanks, bro.
Thank
thanks.
You.
I don't like that either. And like, and Aunt May, you have Aunt May or Aunt May, however you want to say
right.
it. And you got Sally Fields here. She's a great actress.
Yes.
And you're trying to figure her out because they tease the idea in a sense that she kind of knows but then maybe doesn't know. And then she takes a job to help pay for this, and then Peter, I don't know, he's lackadaisical about work or something. I don't know, but he's supposed to be smart. But she has some great scenes, and she tries to let him know, and they try to tie in
right.
the fact about the parents and the dad. But really, if you take the whole dad thing out, it wouldn't really matter. You're still going to have to stop Electro anyway.
Electro anyway, right. They just, they try to add that to different than the old trilogy,
mm-hmm.
and it just didn't work. The whole father thing, they could just got rid of that. Just
Yeah, and in fact, as you say that, and I know it's one of the fixes, and I'll save it for that,
it
would have made more sense if you talked more about Harry's dad.
Yes.
And had Harry Osborn and focus on the relationship between him and, Harry and Norman. That would have been the relationship I would have liked to have seen.
Yes.
You know?
And speaking of relationships, that would work. Flesh that out, the Norman-Harry relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it was a bad relationship, a bad relationship. Show that Norman likes Peter more, and also add Harry back more in the story since the beginning.
Yeah,
about him and forming a relationship, for the audience with Norman, Peter, and Gwen.
Yeah,
and have them go out and have be in the graduation.
Yeah, absolutely missed opportunity there to take care of that. And then, of course, we talked a little bit about Rhino in this movie, and it was a waste of Paul Giamatti because he's a great actor.
Yes.
And he seemed very cliche-ish. He was very tired, and it gave you a tired head right away.
Right.
And you're going, no, that's not the way to go down that route. I'd also say, too, another problem was was the ending, for sure. Right,
yes.
So here's the New Yorkers sitting around because they all want to sit here and watch a guy in a mech suit just firing away guns and all this stuff.
Right.
And all there to watch.
With their
kids.
It's
like, and they got their kids there with them. And then you're just sitting back and you're going, really?
Right.
Like, here's a guy in a machine gun suit who's obviously easy to shoot to take out because he opens up his mask to talk to them and say crazy stuff.
Right.
And that would have been the perfect time for somebody to take him out.
A sniper, you would think.
But they don't. A sniper, right. But you don't get any of that.
Right.
And it's like, would that really happen? Would New Yorkers sit around all watching no bulletproof suits on?
Right.
With a guy with a semi-automatic or automatic weapon just firing into the police and the crowd. And
right.
It's like, y'all would just be sitting there watching that?
Right.
And then, of course, they watched Electro when he was
earlier,
there.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. I guess they're the same people, right?
Yeah. So I guess since so many things happen in New York, they're just used to it now. Like, hey, Avengers were here last week. We saw what they did. So, hell.
What the hell?
We'll just watch this.
There's no portal open on
right? Yeah, there's no Chitauri this time. It's just a guy in a mech
suit.
What's he going to do? It's just one guy.
Where's Captain America?
Yeah, where's
Thor? Where's Iron Man?
What's with these guys? Where's Tony Stark? Where's the Stark building in here? It should be around here somewhere. And I would say probably another problem with the film, too, is the after-credit scene.
Again,
spoiler-licious here, very spoilerific here. So we get an ad for the X-Men movie, Days of Future Past.
Yep.
And how does that not create confusion? to do that. And I don't think I've ever remembered any other movie where they had an ad for another movie.
Another studio, too.
From another studio, too.
Right. Yeah, that was just like, what?
Yeah. You know,
does that mean it's going to cross over? That's some people I heard on the net. And if, sorry, they're like, I mean, X-Men and Amazing X-Men. Amazing X-Men. There you go.
Amazing X-Men.
With Spider-Man.
With Spider-Man involved. Because you never can get enough of Aunt May telling you about your dad and how your dad left you one day and didn't seem to care about you.
Right.
But now you're chasing a girl who's going to leave, who wants to go to school in Oxford.
Right.
Because that just seems to make sense for her. Yeah. Just want to go to Oxford.
Want to go to Oxford.
That's been her whole dream this whole time. Even though she had a job working at Oscorp as a scientist, she didn't want to work her way up.
I think she was confused.
She was going to quit. Yes.
It's
she was
Oxford. Confused. LAX, same thing.
Same thing. It's
isn't Oxford own?
Oxford. Starts with an O. I don't get it.
I know, right?
I don't get that. So we talked about the underdevelopment of the plot, the characters. We talked about having great actors in there. So let's talk about maybe some of the fixes to some of this, because that actually might make it even more interesting if we try to fix this mess, which would seem to be a lot. So I would say, and it kind of maybe an obvious one is you really need to take the Rhino out, because the Rhino doesn't matter.
It doesn't have to be.
You know, and if he is going to be in there, make it an after credit scene if you needed to show him. But
yeah.
I don't think you really needed to.
No. If you need to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you needed to, then that'd be the only way. I think you don't, also, you don't need to necessarily have both Electro and Harry Osborn in this. I think they just needed to stick with one or the other. And if you do have Electro in it, and if you do them both, here's the way I'd do both. So I would just have the relationship between Harry and Norman, his father, built in early on and show how they're all three friends still hanging out in terms of Gwen Stacy himself and all of that. And his dad thinks he's a up-and-coming rising scientist and he's excited about that. And then he's dating Gwen Stacy, who's also a nice scientist. So you could see where maybe the dad would really, really like those two together. Yes. And then they're just looking at Harry, and Harry's kind of just whatever, devil may care.
Right.
So I think you could start there and talk about that father-son relationship rather than Peter and his dad, because it really didn't matter.
Right.
He was going to get bitten by a spider no matter which way it happened.
You know, that's another thing. Yeah, the cast is very underutilized on this with, I think Cooper, I think was the actor. I can't remember the play to Harry. And,
DeHaan.
You know, yes.
Dane DeHaan.
Norman. Yeah, Dane DeHaan. Yeah, he was underutilized because, you know, again, if they would have had him since the beginning, then they can form a relationship. And it'll be a little bit more impact if they're going to kill Gwen Stacy. But that's another fix. I don't think they should not have killed Gwen Stacy in this movie. They should have waited for the third movie so they can form more a relationship with Peter and Gwen. And it'll let the storyline flow a little bit better and a little bit breathe. And it'll probably would have been a more emotional impact. I mean, I heard, some people thought that it was an impact when Gwen died.
Sure.
But then you would get to know more of Gwen and their relationship instead of breaking up. Like the broken side of the movie. This fixed movie, I think it would be a better flow, a better breathable movie.
I think it would be. And I think Electro, we don't really need to see. I'd rather see the origin story of Harry Osborn turning into the Goblin than Electro's. I think what Electro would have been better at is we didn't need to see him as Max. We really didn't.
Right.
Because if he's already beaten and defeated already in this movie, then having an origin for him is kind of stupid. You put an origin in there for a guy who's going to be around for a little bit.
You know,
and Harry should be around for a little bit, and he is.
Right.
Because he's the guy that's going to end up setting up having a connection to the Sinister Six.
Right.
So why deal with Electro and show him as this nerd? Instead, what I would have liked to have had is, I think he should have just been Electro the whole time, and instead of him stalking him as a fanboy, he's watching Peter because he's trying to learn everything about Spider-Man so he could take him down and kill him.
Right.
So I think if he's just automatically vicious to begin with, and trying to take him out, that would be more interesting to me. And then if you kill him, then okay, great, you killed him, you got rid of him. But this whole time, Harry is starting to show, and he's starting to build up a certain understanding of who he is and how he fits in the world now that his dad is dying.
Right.
And tells him that you've got this disease that's going to kill you.
Right.
Right, just like it is me. And his dad basically says something like, hey, here's the key. Instead of it being the other way around where Peter's dad's got these coins he needs to put in his field so he can find the subway and all this
all
stuff.
That stuff.
Why not just have it be that Harry's dad gives him the key or the card or whatever he needs to go there, and he finds all the suits and he's looking at it and he's learning what all's happening.
Well, that he's dying too, and maybe he needs a suit to survive, or maybe he needs some kind of formula to survive. You know? Maybe not even connected to the Peter Parker DNA thing.
Absolutely.
Take that out.
Yeah, you don't need that Peter Parker DNA because it's more ominous that way to say, no, it has to be coded to somebody from Parker's bloodline.
I know.
Which is silly because that means you're hoping for happenstance
right.
for him to happen to be in there. Because it wasn't like they were in there and like, all right, spiders, get him.
Right.
It wasn't like that.
That was just clunky, you know, yeah. Storyline right there.
Just, oh, this is convenient.
Right.
So I think when you're fixing that, if you're going to have both Electro and Harry in there, I think you focus more on Harry and his dad and that whole situation, and that'll help you with the Sinister Six. With Electro, he just needs to be somebody that needs to be taken out and defeated and done with, because you're really not going to do much more with him afterwards. It's going to be about the Sinister Six.
Right. Like any introduction of any villain, in comic books at least, when they're first introduced, they're, you know, a level 10 threat.
Yes.
And then after a while, then I guess because they learn something new and it doesn't become as threatening, maybe an 8 or a 7, you know. You know, you have to be up, you learn things when you fight a villain. But for the first time, Electro, like you said, like the fix was Electro, being more of a stalking him, like an animal. And then when you maybe in the middle of the movie, the big battle happens, and, now you have New Yorkers running away because they're scared instead of, like, standing there.
Yeah.
And looking at everything. And,
yeah, like they're watching a boxing match.
Oh, yeah, there you go, right? This ring will protect me. Oh, there's nothing to protect me.
Yeah, there's nothing here. But we're going to do this anyway.
And then, and those powerful electrical powers are powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So that should have been like it should have been defeated in the fix. Defeated at least the first time he meets him. And then maybe he learns something else. And then he goes back and there's a second battle at the end. And he defeats him. It happened anyway in his movie, and it's broken.
No, you have to do that. Because, I mean, you have to think about Electro. If this is a guy that's running on straight electricity,
yes,
then that means Spider-Man's punches aren't going to work.
Right.
And his spider webbing isn't going to work. So that presents a really complex problem.
Right.
And so all we need is for Electro to show himself and show that he's obsessed with taking out the Spider-Man.
Right.
Because he wants to go and get involved with the crime bosses, and he wants to be somebody that has people afraid of him.
But he sees a target. He sees that Spider-Man is going to ruin going up in the annals of, being a villain.
Absolutely.
So I can take him out, and then I can go on to the, actually being a villain, being a, a crime boss, whatever.
Absolutely.
He wants it. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's kind of like, and I know it's already been done, but Dark Knight, Joker. Notice he goes and he meets with all the crime bosses, and then he tells them what his plan is, what he wants to do, because mainly he just wants to get them out of the way, and he wants to just play with the Batman himself. He's got all the stuff he wants to do. He's psycho anyways. He's like you said, quit doing this.
Right.
It's so much fun. He goes, you complete me.
Right.
And so you would think if he's obsessed, and you already got him, as Max is obsessed. No, it would work better if Electro's obsessed.
Right.
And Electro is saying, no, there's only one person that can stop me from controlling and doing all this stuff. And I've got electricity. This city cannot make it without power.
Right.
And I'm it. I'm the ultimate source of power. What can Spider-Man do?
Yes.
And see, so now that is good, because now you're like, okay, now we got a problem.
Right.
Spider-Man's got to take care of this.
Right.
And meanwhile, while this problem is showing itself up and it's pretty bad, you're watching the torch being handed from Norman to Harry. And he's about to go down and uncover a whole room full of suits and things like this.
He can set up a better setup for the next Sinister Six movie, if you're going to do a spin-off. Maybe not Amazing Spider-Man 3, but Sinister Six and then Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Absolutely. So. And in fact, you can have Harry watching how it's on the news, Spider-Man and Electro really going at it. And now he's kind of going, okay, that one's pretty crafty.
Right.
This one's pretty clever. Well, that's all right. I won't be doing this by myself. You know, something to that idea. Right. Like he's realizing maybe it's not just one person because the spider's pretty crafty. Maybe we need more ammo.
More ammo.
You know, and so that's why he's starting to think of more people, like six, because so far he's looking at it going, wow, people that have attacked them are gone at
defeated.
Him. It's one person trying right. to take them on one by one. And so maybe you see him going through that. Because these are supposed to be all smart people,
supposedly.
And they've got all this data at their fingertips.
Right.
And so that's the first thing you want to do when you're running a company is you want to get rid of the things that would be contradictory to you or things that would keep you succeeding.
Right.
You look at all your threats and you nullify them.
Right.
That's just what you do when you're a big corporate.
Big corporate. Yeah, I mean, because then, you know, just like you say, you're smart. Mm-hmm. And they add also the element of the suits, you know, that would set up everything perfectly
mm-hmm.
with the Sinister Six, which I don't even think a Sinister Six movie is plausible.
Yeah,
because it's gonna
weird.
Be villains. It's gonna be all villains.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Spider-Man gonna make an appearance, and another character is gonna make an appearance maybe some kind of crisis will happen,
mm-hmm.
and they have to be heroes for one day only.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've kind of seen that. You know, there were some animated features of the Justice League where they and the Legion of Doom got together and fought off a particular threat. And then I think even in the Marvel universe with the Avengers cartoons, the Avengers got together with some of the Krees or some of the Skrulls to help fight a certain situation too. So that's what I see. I see them
messing.
Taking the bad guys and making them good for a day or for the greater good for the arc of the world. They need to stay alive and keep
a
the world
crisis.
Alive so that they can still be criminals, I guess.
Right.
I, that's the only thing I can imagine they would go with that. But it's like, but you're playing with Spider-Man. And you got Andrew Garfield throwing out his best witty one-liners and all that, which is Spider-Man. Then you got this high drama with him and Aunt May, and then the relationship with him and with Gwen Stacy, which is almost so Twilight-ish.
In the sense that
it's so back and
it's
forth.
It's so back and forth.
And it's like, what are you trying to be? Are you trying to be a comedy? Are you trying to be serious?
Part of the fix is sort of just stayed with him and her together for the whole movie and
mm-hmm.
no breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Just for
mm-hmm.
the whole movie. I think that's just added the breakup, I think, to mm-hmm. show the audience that, mm-hmm. To have some emotional connection to Gwen, but I think it went, they did the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be better if the relationship was there mm-hmm. all the time with Harry and they're all friends. They go mm-hmm. out after graduation,
mm-hmm.
Have a party, have a great time at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And that would, be a better, tonally a better movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, because that was the one piece missing. When you did get to see Harry and Gwen kind of talking to each other for a little bit, and you see that he's kind of nice to her or whatever, and they're riding the elevator down and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I forgot about this.
They showed that they kind of talked to each other, but you didn't believe that they were really, really good pals, because it just really wasn't explored. And I thought that they could have done that pretty easily, because, I mean, think about it. You've got a really good friend in Harry Osborn who's got this disease now.
Right.
And it's terminal.
Right.
And you're both scientists. So that would make you both want to figure out how can we help our buddy Harry.
That would have worked, too. Yeah, the first half of the movie,
mm-hmm.
Sit down and tell him that he's going to die and
mm-hmm.
doesn't know how long he has, but he's going to die and find a solution. Like you said, like scientists.
Mm-hmm. That's what scientists do. They look for a reason to create a solution. And meanwhile, in the background, you've got this Electro setting up a trap to try to suck Spider-Man in.
Right.
And I think being downtown in New York where they have all the bright lights and stuff,
that's
a brilliant place to have them. And you do this kind of showdown, but you notice it should have been more about him really doing that. And I know we get tired of it, but the villain needed to say, look, see these people over here? This is the kind of power I have. And he starts to send lightning their way. And I think a little bit of that happened, but it just wasn't enough. He was still trying to joke and be, and I'm thinking, no, you're talking about a guy that's dealing with electricity here, and he fried your web shooters.
Right.
Yeah. That should be a problem.
The fix is, when it gets captured and they do the water thing. I don't understand that. The tank in the water, and then that's how they subdue him. That a German scientist.
Yeah.
like, the fix would be he'd take him out.
Yes.
And take the, not captured. Mm-hmm. Like he's, the first battle is, he defeats Spider-Man, and then Spider-Man has to find a way to, not with water. Mm-hmm. They actually do with water.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense.
No. I just chalk it up to...
How does he breathe?
Yeah.
Breathe
when he's underneath? Yeah.
Going to put a tube on him. Anything.
And what was it? Didn't he tell him something like, all right, try to... You can move... He goes, don't you know you're using electronics to hold me back? Something like that. And he goes, go ahead and try it. And I think he tried to do something and it made the guy's glasses crack. But that was it. And it was kind of like, yeah, but you didn't really explain... why he wasn't able to do this, because this is Electro, it's all crazy power. How is it just that he's contained that easily? And if he's contained that easily by someone who's not superpowered, then how does that look with Spider-Man? It makes Spider-Man look dumb.
Right.
Hey, here's a guy that's not superpowered that was able to lock his butt down, but you can't do anything with your web shooters and your punches.
And your punches.
It just seemed kind of,
just tacked on.
Mm-hmm. Nobody should have been able to stop Electro.
Right.
Nobody should have.
Right.
Because, I mean, who understands electricity that well?
That well.
And he would. And he's, of course, he's in the movie, they have him learning his powers. But to me, what if he was already BA?
It is that. Yeah, BA. Fixed where in terms of he's behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. You add on maybe even in the first movie he was still stalking him in the first movie. Maybe mm-hmm. they had a picture or video that he's studying that shows a scene from the first movie and he mm-hmm. connected to the mm-hmm. the first one, the reboot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that mm-hmm. would work.
Mm-hmm. Because I think they wanted to be too clever. And then this is a fun little piece that I would have thrown in just for the fanboys and all of us. I think at the end where you have that scene. With Rhino and the little boy comes running out in the Spider-Man suit.
Right.
That was pretty cheesy because earlier he stops fighting crime to help a little boy who's getting bullied.
Right.
And it's the same kid again. Chances are he runs in the same kid twice in the big city of New York.
All right.
But it seemed like what would have been really neat is if it was Miles Morales. Yeah, it would have been cool if that would have been him. And he runs out there thinking he's going to do something. And you hear the mom go, Miles, get back here. That sort of thing.
Right.
That would have been kind of cool. A little nod.
A little nod.
Spider-Man
Ultimate Spider-Man fans. Mm-hmm. That would have worked, yeah. And then maybe he would have taken over in, Amazing Spider-Man 10.
Yeah. We've got to wait till Amazing Spider-Man 10. Because you're not going to be tired of Spider-Man. You can't get tired of him hanging upside down. So we got to bring him back with a bunch of different girlfriends. Right. Some you like, some you hate.
It'll be different powers, too, because I've read Miles Morales, and he has different powers. Some of the powers is a chameleon-like power, not chameleon, I should say. Mm-hmm. He can disappear, because there's some spider species that can disappear, supposedly, in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the powers that Miles Morales has, different than Spider-Man. He can just mm-hmm. disappear out of nowhere. Just like, mm-hmm. He's gone. Mm-hmm. And that's how he kind of diffuses situations. So that'll work. It'll be a different angle on Spider-Man powers. That'll be interesting, It'll be a different Aunt May. It won't be Aunt May. It'll be a mother. And mm-hmm. it can make a whole storyline where... Mm-hmm. He just disappears. Like, where's Miles?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it would have been a nice little piece of fan service. It would have been a nice way to say, yeah, we know what you're thinking. We know what you want.
And all right.
So here's our little nod to say that, hey, he fits in this universe still, and we're not gonna cover it right now. But at least we've put this in here, and that will keep some people excited about it for a bit. And then later on, as they need to test waters, because how many characters does Sony have? They don't have a whole lot of characters.
They don't have a lot of characters.
He's got Spider-Man, and then the Sinister Six,
and then they got a little known character that I know, the Prowler.
The Prowler,
He has purple outfit.
Purple outfit.
Purple, that's good. Purple Rain. They could do a whole Purple Rain thing.
They're trying to rob Joker of his color. That's Joker's colors, man. Only Joker can wear purple. What's up with that?
Well, the Prowler is like started out. I think he's a villain at first, and then he kind of does an anti, hero thing, because he sees the arrows of his ways. Mm-hmm. And I keep hearing they just own Spider-Man, but I think that would be like Black Cat. They introduced Black Cat.
Mm-hmm, they did,
and that'll have been flesh that character out. Mm-hmm. Another fix would be add more scenes with her.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comics, I think she's kind of like a thief, mm-hmm. By night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she gets connections. She works, as a secretary, and then at night she knows she has connections to all these rich people,
mm-hmm.
and she goes to parties with the bosses, so she mm-hmm. knows all this. So that'll be another fix. Add more with the Black Cat, Felicity, mm-hmm. which she was just introduced and just mm-hmm. died on the vine right there.
That's true. That mm-hmm. would be good. And that's why I'm saying Sony is so backed up against the wall here, because short-sighted is exactly right. Last time they did a movie about a woman that was in a cat suit, it was horrible. So
was that Sony? Catwoman?
Notice
that I know which movie you're talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know with Sony.
So it's like they can't do Spider-Man right.
Right.
A beloved character. And we already know that the Catwoman did not work, so you're going to try to do Black Cat, Marvel's version of it, So it'd be really interesting to see how they're going to work their way out of this situation, because they've got mostly all villains. And I heard someone say something about Spider-Woman, but I don't think Spider-Woman's in that universe. Is that... Jessica Drew?
She is. But on the side, but there's been different Spider-Women, like two different Spider-Women.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Girl, that's another third character,
mm-hmm.
but that's different. But Spider-Women, there's been at least two that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
So I did hear that, it just broke like a week ago. They're gonna break that, they're gonna do a Spider-Woman. They're not thinking, a storyline that is told in three parts. It's just thinking about what's in front of them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now they just add that Spider-Woman, and it'll probably just like the Catwoman, it won't work,
mm-hmm.
most likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because unless they have a plan in terms of, why is she introduced? What mm-hmm. what are the motivations,
mm-hmm.
Other than just have a female character?
Yeah,
and not have any, mm-hmm. Great storylines, great motivation behind the character. But we'll see. But mm-hmm. you never know; they might just develop that and then just break down.
Could very well be.
Hope.
Yeah, we can always hope. We just keep Bob Hope alive, right? Keep him alive.
Right.
Well, I think that, when you look at this film too, when you start talking about fixes again, I think it will help if you just also decide on the tone. So I'm thinking Amazing Spider-Man 2 should have been more serious in the sense that the villains should have been really, really dastardly. Because to me, I always like the villains. When the villains are really, really good, then it makes the superhero even more compelling. So when you look at like Magneto as an excellent villain, you look at Joker as an excellent villain, Loki. I mean, when they're compelling and they're really dastardly, or they're just, there's something about them, then...
Well, that's the problem with that, the motivation, mm-hmm. Which would probably work with the stalker angle we have, or with
mm-hmm.
the fix,
mm-hmm.
Which mm-hmm. him, trying to maybe create, a business, an underworld business,
mm-hmm.
and go
mm-hmm.
from there. But, that's the thing, short-sightedness
mm-hmm.
for, in Sony's part, they think they can do it all in like two movies, instead of spending time and doing a little bit here, a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think they're afraid because they realize that if you look at the first movie, I mean, The Amazing mm-hmm. Spider-Man 1 and then Sam Raimi's, it's pretty close.
The only
different twist is that, the dad is, we're going to explore this whole dad angle. But basically everything else was a lot like the first, Sam Raimi, except for they had... instead of Mary Jane, they had Gwen Stacy in it. But pretty much it followed the exact same thing, which is why I didn't really care for The Amazing Spider-Man, the first one, because I was just like, this is just a reboot of something I already saw that's not even that old yet.
Right. It was like,
and
what, 10
it
years
follows
old
it to the T practically in just some areas. And you knew when, Uncle Ben was going to get killed. I always think of rice when I think of Uncle Ben. But anyway, you knew Uncle Ben was going to get killed. You just knew all these different things. And then, of course, they want to try to retcon it and make it different in this one.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you're trying to show us how it's not like the other one. So you try to create something interesting and new. However, the execution of it is weak. And then at the same time, you're trying to set up the Sinister Six. So it's kind of like your motivations, your plot points, your ideas are all over the road because of it. Right. Your tone is uneven because of it, because it's funny in places, it's real dramatic in places, it's pretty violent in some places, and then you have an ending that just falls way flat, and right. then a commercial for a whole other movie from a whole other studio.
It's just everything's flat. Everything just doesn't work. From the Amazing Spider-Man, the first one, mm-hmm. from there, they didn't have ideas to connect the second one. Mm. Other than the father thing, which kind of fizzled. Mm. Even without the, you just take out the father thing, and I think, like you said, it will still be Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. They didn't need Spider-Man, father figure mm-hmm. with him, because in the original trilogy, he really didn't even mention it, because Uncle Ben was a father.
Yeah.
And that was, so, how many times, with this new, version, this reboot, mm-hmm. how many times does he have to learn that? that lesson.
Right.
Uncle Ben dies. Mm. I thought you learned that, right? Mm. Great mm. power comes from great responsibility, which they didn't even say that in the movie, right? Right. In the first one, the reboot.
Right.
And in the second movie, Gwen Stacy dies. Mm. Same thing. Mm-hmm. The Amazing Spider-Man 3 is going to be that somebody else is going to die? Mm-hmm. Aunt May? Mm-hmm. Is that what's going to happen?
Right. That's the crazy part about that, too, because it's kind of like, if all these people keep dying in the movie, then that messes with your tone, because how can he be so funny and sarcastic and all this stuff?
Right.
And all these people keep dying, they're close to him. That wouldn't make you so...
Maybe in the films it doesn't work, but in the comics, I think I know why he's so, smarmy and so jokey, because it's a release for him.
Sure.
Because in the comic books, he's even worse than because he's, has a job for a little while and then loses it, and then he's strapped for money. But when he's Spider-Man, he could just let go and go out and, punch people and get frustrated and get out of his frustrations, basically. And that's why he's a jokey, different than when he's Peter Parker, he's somber a little bit more. He might, crack a joke here and there, but, he has a different attitude when he's Spider-Man. And then that's why they would try to convey in his movies. But they make him, smarmy also when he's Peter Parker. So, maybe tone down that, version of Peter Parker, less smarmy, less, maybe more nerdy. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing also, he's a smart guy, supposedly, but they don't put that in the forefront in these movies, in Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, mm-hmm. that Gwen Stacy is smarter than
And this one she is. And then she has to save him, and then that's that other scene that was kind of crazy. Right? You already know what I'm talking about. So all of a sudden, here's a dude that can change his density and fly between Transformer and Transformer, just throwing electricity at him.
Right.
At Peter Parker. And then he gets hit by a car when Stacy's driving. So she can come up all of a sudden. He can't hear a car coming up on him. And she can hit him and knock him off of Spider-Man without running over Spider-Man. Because if I remember correctly, he's on top of him, wailing on him. If I remember correctly, he was doing that. So how can she hit him with a car and not hitting Spider-Man? And then why would he be in density form right there when that makes him more vulnerable? He might as well stay as more like electrical spark cloud thing, because that's where all of his power is anyway. So why would you go to a density state, which would put you in a situation? But again, you have her there, and then you also have to ask, well, why was she there in the first place?
Right.
He webbed her to the car, and the web's supposed to be super strong enough to carry his weight. So how does she escape? What does she do to get to cut the web so that she can get there? So all of a sudden, like Iron Man 3, when the suits fall apart just like that, now all of a sudden his webbing is
weak.
Yeah, it's weak all of a sudden, just to fit the plots, right here. So to me, I get that the idea that they're trying to step away from this damsel in distress, but really what she's doing is actually stupid. She's putting herself in harm's way, a non-powered person. If Spider-Man's struggling with a guy that has all this electrical power, what is a non-powered human being going to do?
Right.
She's actually making herself more of a problem for him.
Right.
And he now has to look after her and be conscious of her and Electro at the same time. Really, if she's not there, all he's got to do is just focus on Electro. But when she adds herself to the equation, just so that we can say we have a strong female character coming in who's not whatever, actually it's kind of a dumb move for her to be there.
Right.
And very again, dumb. What does she know about this stuff anyway? Just because she's a scientist, I mean, she knows everything about electricity.
Right. And so. Scientists don't know everything about all the kind of fields.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would just like maybe concentrate on one, maybe two,
mm-hmm.
if they're real smart.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that just doesn't make sense. Again, the fix will be that now don't kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Because the storyline has to do that she has to be there because eventually mm-hmm. Green Goblin will be there. So they have to meet up that point mm-hmm. for her death.
Mm-hmm.
So that, that, that'd be part of the fix in terms of not kill her in this movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, we let the story breathe a little bit, mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, and, move on to the next film.
Mm-hmm.
And just not try to do too much for one movie. I mean, mm-hmm. From what I heard, they had already said, yes, we're going to do another five movies.
Yeah.
Why did all that crap?
Yeah. No, it's for the idea that if this movie can make money, and then of course they don't want to lose the rights and have to go back to Marvel, which I don't have a problem if it goes back to Marvel. I've heard the argument that no, you don't want Marvel to have it because they've already got a full slate, and that means these Spider-Man movies probably won't get made. But then you could also say, well, maybe there's some other movies they don't need to make, like Ant-Man. Why do we really need an Ant-Man movie? Robert Downey Jr. If Iron Man is going to make Ultron anyway, then you don't really need Ant-Man.
Right.
If in the movie universe it's going to be, Robert Downey Jr.'s character Iron Man who's going to build them.
Right.
So really, you don't need an Ant-Man film. So really, I would trade out Ant-Man and just take Spider-Man and do it the right way that people want to see in the first place.
Yeah, but the Sony saw that, they don't want to get a franchise in their mind.
They don't.
Wait a minute, we only got 2 years, three years to put a movie out before we lose it?
We're just going to run it into the ground. Like, stupid storylines that don't make any sense, and we're going to have dads of superheroes be the main plot point and why this movie is different.
Why? Yeah, that's why it's different.
It's coded and all this other stuff. And,
right.
Thank goodness that it was Peter Parker that happened to be in that Oscorp to get bitten by a spider. Because had that been somebody else, I guess that's your butt.
You're just dead.
Die.
Yeah.
You're just dead. Sorry. I meant that for my son. I mean, I was hoping my son could find all the clues that I left behind so that he would be the one. But, you got bit by the spider. Sorry. My bad.
You're bad.
I mean,
if you were to keep that, do you have any thoughts on if you were to keep the father angle to him, maybe bring him into the story and not actually kill him in the first part in the second movie? Maybe he's been hiding out for 10 years and he comes back. Mm-hmm. To change it a little bit, and then maybe form a relationship with Peter for a while?
Well, I think the thing is, I wouldn't, and here's why. I mean, Peter works best as, again, the teen that's struggling with just being normal, and his parents aren't around. Part of the angst that he has to live with his aunt and uncle to begin with. So I think if his dad's around, then why is he staying with his aunt?
But if you're gonna do that, I guess the fix would be not even reboot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, don't even reboot it. Just start with a whole other story.
Another story. Don't even add the origin story. Mm-hmm. Because, then, people probably can get around that, the origin story already told. Just go straight to an adventure with the lizard.
Yes.
And he's already Spider-Man for, a year or two or whatever. Mm-hmm. Make him a little younger, of course. And then, just go straight to, the lizard since they already did Dr. Ock, and they already did Green Goblin. They don't even do the Green Goblin thing. Electro will be new, fresh, and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. Because the problem with keep having his dad around, putting his dad into the whole thing, it messes it up. Because if your dad's around and yet he doesn't want you to live with him, now you make your dad look like a jerk.
All right.
You see, and that's not what you want to do. You don't want to make Peter Parker's dad seem like a jerk. So that's why they had to create this whole idea of, well, no, actually, he wasn't being a jerk. He was doing it to protect him, and it was because he was onto something, but he didn't want Peter to know, and all that stuff. And all that stuff is like, you're going way around the barn too many times to tell a story that's really simple.
Simple, right.
You don't need the dad. Peter Parker's dad is of no consequence, really, because he's going to get bitten by a spider, or else he's not Peter Parker.
It's being complex without actually thinking it through.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just added some element that doesn't really just a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
Because in his mind, Uncle Ben and Aunt are his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have been a more established. Maybe that's a scene that Sally Field did. Mm-hmm. But then I think that was powerful in terms of when mm-hmm. they were crying on the bed.
Yeah,
and that was a powerful scene. Mm-hmm. And it did feel like everything else in this movie. It felt rushed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too much plot, too much elements trying to work together and not really forming anything.
Right. And I mean, and that's why I think most people, when they watch this film, would probably complain about the pacing and the tone, because you can't jump from he's a laughing riot over here to serious big moment here to all of a sudden back to laughing again, then to some extreme violence, and then villains that we don't really understand their motives. And when you give us their motives, it's stupid. So basically, Jamie Foxx's character Max is only mad at Spider-Man because Spider-Man didn't remember his name.
Right.
And then, you know, Dane DeHaan's character, Harry Osborn's mad because Spider-Man won't give him his blood.
Give him his blood.
Which was untested, and nobody knows whether it's going to work or not anyway.
No motivation.
So that's it. Those right. two things, that's starting to sound like Iron Man 3. Alexander Killian's mad because, you know, Tony Stark told him he'd be up there, and he never came up there. I mean, it didn't work in Iron Man 3, which is what we did the first episode was on that, and it's still not working.
So right.
You would think by now, after all these superhero movies, you have enough templates out there to watch in terms of, you've got Batman Begins, Iron Man 1, Avengers, Dark Knight. There's been some great superhero movies, so there's no excuse for this.
Right.
Especially when this basically looks a lot like Spider-Man 3 anyways.
Right.
With, you know, Sandman, Venom, and Goblins. There's three villains in that one as well.
Well, that's just, well, yeah, the fix would be just not to hire Mark Webb, the director / writer of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the studio hired him because he was easy to kind of manipulate, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, you can add another villain right here.
Well, they thought he'd be a great director because his last name was Webb.
Oh!
His last name is Webb. Right. This has got to be a sign.
We got to do it, right?
He's got to be the guy to do this movie. So I think what ended up happening is he ended up alienating a lot of Spider-Man fans. I know a lot of us that went to go see the film immediately were taken out of it when we just saw the unevenness of it all. And again, there were some positives, but you know, the love scene between him and Gwen Stacy obviously was pretty good, and you had the positive of just the CGI
and the chemistry mm-hmm. with them and the CGI. I thought the CGI worked for me. In this day and age, you're gonna expect CGI, mm-hmm. And I think this was pretty good, compared to other movies.
Mm-hmm. And Electro, just reimagine him so he's not a guy with a green suit with big yellow pointy electric thing. The way he was reimagined was pretty clever. I mean, it was up to date, so it had some of that going for it.
Right.
Just the rest of it was just an absolute train wreck.
Right. So there were points that we liked about the movie. We didn't.
Yes. Yes. But the people are like, I'm going to click off this right now because they haven't said one positive thing. I love Spider-Man.
Right.
And it's like, well, yeah, but we're talking about this thing critically because there's the entertainment value, which the film does have some entertainment value. You will be entertained by some of it. But when you look at it critically, that's when you say, man, I don't know if I could watch this movie several times over and over again.
Right. Right. You want the 5 years from now, or 4 years from now, when the next mm-hmm. Spider-Man, you won't put this on there. Oh, I got to refresh my memory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people just, well, hopefully, number 3 will be good.
Yeah.
We're hoping.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking now, like, what is the most memorable scene from this movie? And I don't know. I'm sure there was one, but I can't think of what scene in this movie made me just go, or even giggle, if you will. But I can't think of a scene that...
Right. I mean, the first part of it, the first 10, 15 minutes of it, mm-hmm. before the father is introduced in the plane, mm-hmm. when he was actually Spider-Man, I thought it was going to be, again, back to the tone. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be fun, mm-hmm. and then the tone changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes like two different movies tacked together. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work.
Yes, I'm really struggling. I'm trying to figure out what scene in that movie was really memorable, and I can't think of it. Like, I think of the first one, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, and I think of that scene where he's up on the wall, up on the ceiling, and his blood's about to drip, and it might give away who he is to the person that's in the room, and the idea that he's up there like right. that. And if he moves or does anything,
it creates tension.
Yeah, you're just like, man. And I remember that scene. I remember that scene like it was yesterday. I remember that scene where the goblin throws those bombs at him, and he does that Matrix-like thing to jump out of the way of the deals. And I thought, okay, that's Spider-Man. He would do that.
Right.
You know, I thought that was pretty cool. So I can remember scenes from the first original Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
But not this
one. In this movie, and then give me a couple more months.
You probably will even forget, because right now we've refreshed our memory right now because we've, you know, seen clips and seen and thought about it. And I would have to sit down again and think about it. Like, what was this scene again?
Yeah, there was nothing about this movie that said, man, you really... That scene was so awesome, and that
I want to see it again.
Yes,
and again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's you know, one of the fixes would be to maybe add a better fight with Electro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just disappear.
Yeah.
Just like this movie in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It just boom, boom, boom. So I mean, this is kind of. Our idea here, this is kind of the way we would have reimagined this movie. If you think about this movie, and any time you go to the theater, everyone has an expectation, especially if it has a comic book adaptation to it as well. You start thinking, is it going to follow the comics or is it going to do something different? So here, it do-it-yourself, we'd rather think of it as in, okay, what scenes took us out of the movie? And it's usually probably because of some bad writing or something poorly executed, which... You know, we've beaten that horse here up on that for sure. So what we're going to do now is actually just thank a few people for helping us provide this. And so I think we'd like to give a big shout out to Keith's Comics, which is where Juice is working at.
Yes.
So you guys need to come check him out. He's got all kinds of action figures to comic books. He's got the whole shebang. So just go in there. Ask for Juice and he can get you hooked up. Won't be any problem there. Also, you want to go, if you want to hear some of the other reviews, you want to go to Vega Bomber at both Twitter, Vega Bomber, also a YouTube, and there's also a Facebook page for Vega Bomber. And that's me, and that's what I try to do. I try to give you guys the news on what's happening in pop culture. We try to look at it from a fun aspect, and we also try to look at it from a critical aspect, because there's going to be more of this stuff. And so every time they put something out there, that means the ante needs to be upped, because our expectations are going to get up.
Yes.
So these movies don't have an excuse. They've got to get better, and we hope that they do. We don't want them to think they were just, you know, enamored with just blinking lights and one-liners. We really want the story to be good.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say that flow and be creative in your ways to tell a story, you know, relationships with characters actually matter, not just, you know, the CGI.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's got to be more to it than just neat, pretty CGI. Nowadays, that comes a dime a dozen. You can see that in a lot of movies. So this is going to be us then signing off for this particular episode. We'll be back. We're still thinking about what we want to cover next. If you have an idea and you want to get into the Jedi Cole universe, or if you want to go to my page, Vega Bomber page, and say, man, it'd be great if you guys talked about this movie, we'll still do that. If not, we may go to an X-Men movie, because that would be easy to do, but we're still working on that. But if you guys have an idea out there, then let us know. Again, you can find me, Vega Bomber, on YouTube, Facebook, and also Twitter. And then, of course, if you're in Dallas and you're walking around shopping and going to comic book stores, or you're just looking for the latest action figure, you need to go on up into Keith's Comics, and then you see Juice, tell him, Juice, man, you need to do this movie, man, The Big Lombowski or something. And, you know, and yeah. So he's laughing, but maybe we would do that.
Yeah, maybe, right? It's been not just superhero genre movies, right?
That's exactly right, because there's a ton of movies out there. Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. This is Vega Bomber, and he's Juice.
Till next time.
That's right. We're out until then. So all I'm going to say to you now is, yep, just blow it up.